can do something with a normal piece of equipment that nobody else could do. And I don't know everyone in this room today. I've met some of you, but I know that God knows you. And because God knows you, it tells me that he sent you here on assignment on this earth. Nobody is here by accident. Nobody is here without a purpose. Nobody is here to do nothing. Even the biggest mess up, the person who's been the biggest mess up, we know from the Bible that Paul, he was Saul before he was Paul, and boy was he a mess up, won't you say? Anybody that tries to kill a Christian, they're kind of considered a mess up, aren't they? But he couldn't remain one for long because God gave him a choice. And God said, choose, this is what's going to happen. Choose. And he had 3 days, right? And he made a decision. And because he made a decision, we get to read all about the stuff that he experienced with God that he wrote in the Bible. So today I want to talk to you about restoration, rejuvenation, and refreshing. Amen? Some of you can use some of that in your life. Yeah? We all can, right? We all can. I want to give you some definitions first. Is it hot in here? Is it just me? Yeah, you know us women, we go back and forth, so. Not me, but you know. I think Dr. Kathy has something for that in case you have that problem, by the way. But I looked up the word restoration, and it means the act or process of returning something to its original condition by repairing it or cleaning it. The act of bringing back something that existed before, or the act of returning something that was stolen or taken. And that's restoration. How many of you have had the devil steal something? I'd say I have. And boy, is he paying for it. It's not about what he's taken. It's about what his payback needs to be. This is how you have to look at life. When something happens in your life that you didn't plan, which should be everything, because either you're living a life that God planned for you, or the devil comes in and interrupts with something, right? But either way, it wasn't your plan. And if something comes in from the enemy and interrupts God's plan for your life, your question shouldn't be, why did it happen to me? But isn't that the first question? Or people might judge. I wonder why that's happening to them. Our question, our answer should be, or our question to God should be, what do you want me to do about this? How are we going to kill the giant? Amen? You don't ask God why this happened to me. I'll tell you something. If you find yourself doing that a lot, then somewhere in your mindset, in your teaching about God, in your upbringing, in your Bible story days, in the Christian home you grew up in the Sunday school you went to, somebody, even if the church that you went to didn't believe that, somebody who spoke to you about the Bible told you something about punishment from God. And I'll tell you what, God has punishment or consequences set for certain actions. That it's just set. It's not because you did it that you get the punishment. It's because the action occurred. However, he also has grace and mercy. What does the Bible tell us about God's mercy? They're new when? Every morning. I like to think of it this way. I could mess up so much yesterday, but thank God there's tomorrow morning for his new mercies. And you can count on it like you can the sun rising in the morning, God's mercies. But God has everything good for us. The enemy has everything that has death associated with it. I want you to never forget that. When something is rusting in your life, when it gets old and cruddy, and it seems like you've been doing this forever, nothing's happening, it's not God's plan that's causing that. It's something from the enemy that has come in and has choked your life. You know, when oxygen doesn't get to something that's alive, what happens? It dies. And we need the breath. We need just the wind of God to come into our life, to resuscitate things that we have put aside. There is no age barrier with God. Do we not have stories in the Bible that tells us this? Whether young or old, Jesus was 12 when he was having conversations with lawyers. Right? Sarah and Abraham were in their 90s when they were having babies. Who heard of such a thing? I don't even think the scientists could figure out how to do that today. But the Bible tells us that with God, all things are possible. Amen? Let's look at a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 25. And if you're taking notes, you could write this down, but look at it in the Message Bible. This is where I'm going to look at it, in the Message Bible. It says, I'll refresh tired bodies. I'll restore tired souls. Isn't that awesome? In the Amplified, it says, in Psalm 23, verse 3, which everyone knows Psalm 23, even if you haven't been in church for 10 years, you still know what Psalm 23 is, right? But in verse 3, it says, he refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Who is your life about? That's my question for you today. To be restored, to be refreshed, and to be rejuvenated, for who is this happening? Is it happening for you so that we can impress the friends that we're trying to impress? Or is it happening for God? This is the question we have to answer. And then when we answer the question, if it is happening for God, then there must be somebody that I'm affecting. When we bring something to be restored, if you watch these home shows, which I love to watch, you know, with my mom. My mom was with us for the past 6 months, and she is now safely back in Guyana at an orphanage that we have there. But when she came over here 6 months ago, she had to spend a lot of time in my house recuperating, and I'll explain in a minute. But one of the things that we did that she passed the time with was she watched game shows and home shows and cooking shows, which was great. Learn a lot, just veg out, just, you know, chill. And one of the things she loved was watching the fixer-uppers, you know, when they flip houses and they take this old thing and turn it into all this stuff. And yeah, Property Brothers and all these guys and whatever. And this great couple, the Gaines, they're a Christian couple. Aren't they awesome? This is what I do. I don't know about you, but I look to people for examples. So when I feel like I'm being a little rough and edgy and no, I don't really, shouldn't be around me, I'm like, I need to go watch that lady. She is so gracious. I just need to watch a marathon of how she talks to people and just let it sink in. Maybe even develop the Southern accent. And it'll help and kind of recalibrate me. It's a great example of how to just be an encourager. She's like an example of a great encourager. Encouragement's not my number one thing. This is. But anyway. but it works too. Everybody needs it. So my mom, here's the story of my mom. 6 months ago, my mom came. She had a lot of pain. She was in Guyana. And I apologize for those of you who already know the story, but there are probably some of you that don't, and you could hear it and be encouraged. So my mom was having a lot of pain at the orphanage in Guyana, third world country, Guyana. You don't want to go to the doctors there because you don't know how you're going to leave. So it was really bad that the next day my dad took her to the doctor there. It was a private doctor, great guy. He did some blood tests and came back to say that you need to go to America now. Like, get the next flight and go to America. Well, what is wrong? Well, your CA125, which is the marker that tells if you have cancer in your body or not, is over 500. We don't have the machine to tell you how much over, but it's over 500. Normal is 30, so you need to leave. So she comes over here, we get her to the right doctors, and it turns out it is 2155. That's the number, 2155. And so they thought it was a certain type of cancer, so they thought they would do some surgery. They go in to do surgery and realize that it is everywhere in her belly. Every organ has cancer on it, everything. And it was touching the liver, but hadn't gotten in yet. But the doctor came out after 20 minutes. I thought, man, that's a fast surgery. You really are good. They said you were good. You're really good. So he said, I'm sorry, guys. There's nothing I could do for your mom. It's everywhere. I can't. There's nothing to take out, because if I did, I'd take everything out. So what he did was he took a biopsy to figure out where it's coming from, because they thought it was ovarian cancer, but wasn't in the ovaries. So it was peritoneal cancer, third to fourth stage, which means she probably had a couple months to live. But we know somebody that gives life. This is why you don't stop and go, well, why did this happen? She is like a Mother Teresa with all these children she takes care of. Well, hey, who else is a good candidate for a silent death from the enemy? Do you hear what I'm saying? So don't go around measuring people being sick based on how bad they are. Crazy. It's like saying, it's like measuring whose houses get stolen into based on how horrible, how lazy they are, and how unproductive they are. Who's going to want to go in their house and steal something? Anyway. So, there would be nothing to steal. So, so my mom, so the recommendation was this. We will try chemo for ovarian cancer, and we are going to debulk you. I learned all kinds of terms. That means they'll try to make them tumors less so you can go and take out organs. Well, in the meantime, we had our intercessors praying and everything, and they saw that she'd have no body parts removed and all this stuff, which is awesome to have somebody who can hear from God when you're going through something. You hear me? The best armies in the world don't send their best fighter in by themselves to fight a war. Who does that? They send the whole army in. This is why, use your church, use your Christian friends, get them to fight with you. Don't do it alone. It doesn't matter what your position is in the army, you still need an army. So we did a whole bunch of stuff, but one of the things we did was every time my mom would have chemo, I would speak to the chemo and I would tell it, you are only allowed to kill cancer tumors in her body. You have no right or permission to go anywhere else, and you cannot affect any other cell, and there shall be no side effects. I'm using you as an instrument to get in her body and kill cancer. That's your job. And it did. Six cycles later, which we think it happened in four, but six cycles later, after they did all the CT and everything else, the surgeon came in to tell us, you can go home. I have no surgery to do. Everything is gone. Praise God. It went from 2155 to 9. 9. Praise God. And so the enemy now has to pay. Speaking of which, the orphanage did not have to pay any money for my mom's medical expenses, and all of it was taken care of. Praise God. Because if you know chemo, it ain't cheap. But God has a strategy for every assault. If war comes to a country and they're being attacked by a certain type of weapon, it takes a person that knows strategies of war to know which weapon to use back against that weapon, correct? And you need to know the word of God and how to use it against your enemy. But one of the things that does not work against the enemy is, why me? Oh, I can't take it say, how dare you even try? And you have to have big mouth people around you that tells the enemy to shut up. If you're too nice, I'm telling you, my mama is a nice lady, real sweet lady. And she put her health care in my charge, and that's all the permission I needed. If you're going to do it, you need to give the person permission. Otherwise, they're fighting against your will, correct? And boy, these people would call her up and say, well, my mom would say, I feel pretty good, you know? I feel really, really good. And they'd say, well, I knew this lady who felt really, really good. These are the conversations I was in. She felt really, really good. She had the same type of cancer you had. And 2 weeks later, she was dead. Why, thank you so much. So when mom hangs up the phone, I was like a hawk. There was not a conversation she didn't have that I didn't know about. And I would say, Mom, what of that conversation have you digested? Because none of it is true. And she go, oh, no, no. And it was from loving people, close people, family members, friends. You don't take the word of anyone if they're not speaking life and they're speaking death. I don't care who they are. Peter was told, get thee behind me, Satan, not Peter. Jesus didn't say, Peter, get thee behind me. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, because that's who comes in to war against your life. And you have to know how to tell the enemy, get. Amen? If you can't tell the enemy to flee from you, then he will come in and set up camp. And do you know how you know the enemy has set up camp in your house or in your office or in your life? The thing that is the signpost, you know, when a business gets started, it hangs its little signpost on the door. The thing that is hung on the doorpost of the enemy's headquarters in any location is strife. The Bible says where there's strife, there is every evil work. So when I tell people you need to confront the enemy, I'm not telling that because you're big, bad, whatever. I'm telling you that because you need to stop strife. Because if you don't, it wants to make your location its new headquarters. You have to see strife like this. Strife is like knocking down the walls of your house and telling your worst enemy, come on in, set up camp. I'll just sit in the corner and watch. That's what strife is. It's giving complete access to the enemy of the enemy of your life. God is not an author of strife, neither does he edit strife. He cuts it off. Right? God cuts off strife because he knows what it'll do if you let it grow in your life. I want us to look at a story real quick. Ezekiel chapter 37. If we look at Ezekiel chapter 37, are you doing good? Yes. You're not sleeping on me, are you? Did you have enough chocolate? All right. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezra, where did we get Ezra from? No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Les. Les is back there in the sound booth doing an awesome job. By the way, Les is Julie's husband. I guess you didn't put the two together. Ezekiel chapter 37. And I do need that new iPad. This one's kind of can't keep up with me. All right. And this Ezekiel was a prophet. And so he had a bunch of experiences with God. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. When you hear bones, are you thinking living or dying? Yeah, when I hear bones, I'm like, well, if it's down to the bones, we're talking like death times 500 turned over. Like, everything's gone. The bones are there. All right? And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So we're talking dry bones. Can you say a candidate for restoration? I mean, I don't know who's going to take the job, but something's going to happen. They need some serious restoration. I don't even think dogs would want to participate in this whole show. So we're looking, God's showing this prophet dry bones. Here's something. When God brings something to your attention, it is not for nothing. He has an assignment attached to the vision he just gave you. So a prophet is looking at a vision of dry bones. How many of you would probably turn away and go, okay, yeah, God, I hear you, but I'm not ready yet. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Well, there's a good question. And I answered, this is Ezekiel talking, he said, O Lord God, thou knowest. Here is a revelation for you. I heard this from another minister, and I've used it every time. I think my husband uses it too. If you don't know the answer of a question God asks you, you just simply say, you know, Lord. Isn't that what he did? He says, Lord, you know. And we are going to have lots of things come up in our life where we don't know the answer. But instead of going, why are you asking me, Lord? Right? Or why me, Lord? Isn't there a song called Why Me, Lord? What Have I Ever Done? Oh, yeah, it's an old song. It just flashed back. But you say, you know, Lord. Isn't that a different approach? Isn't that a different solution? That because how much, what does God know? Let me tell you, if somebody knows the number of hairs on your head, I'd say he knows some stuff. I'm just saying. If he knows how many sands are on the seashore, I'm thinking he would have an answer for dry bones. So I don't know who in here today or who's listening to my voice after the fact think that they're all dried up. And, you know, they're just kind of like waving along. They're just waiting, you know. What are you waiting for? Like, are you waiting to die? Because that's really what you're saying, but you just don't want to say it. Right? But when we're just waiting around, we are doing exactly what the enemy would like us to do. We're waiting around for somebody else's life to go to the next level. For example, if you find yourself, well, I'm just waiting on my grandkids now. You know, I'm just waiting for my kids to have kids. I'm waiting for my child to graduate. I'm waiting for my grandson to get married. I'm waiting to see great-grand. That's great. But what are you doing while you're waiting? What are you doing while you're waiting? Can God still ask you a question about dry bones? Can he? Can he still ask you about dry bones? Can he still ask you to help him? So here's what happened. And he said, O Lord, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let me tell you how you answer dry bones. You tell dry bones, listen up. I've got some words for you. And you open your Bible and you start reading words from God. And you speak to those things until you see stuff start happening. And if you keep reading the story, some of you need to go home and read Ezekiel 37 in every version there is. And you'll see all of a sudden there was a noise. If your house too quiet, you're the peace people. We just like peace. Let me tell you, there's some dry bones in there. But the way dry bones start coming back to life, there is a sound. Movement has a sound. It doesn't matter how much you try to tiptoe and sneak around, you will still make a sound. Somebody is hearing the sound. I want to know, does God hear a sound from your life? Does the enemy hear you coming? He should be running. Every demon that's ever been assigned to attack my life, they are shivering today still, even if it happened 10 years ago. You know why? Because I know who is in me. And what does the Bible say? If you are a Christian, what's in you? Greater is he that's in you than he that is where? In the world. The enemy can only function out in the world to attack you. He can't function from inside, because who lives in us when we receive Jesus? Come on. The Holy Spirit. Who do you think is going to win? The devil cannot affect you from inside if you have allowed the Holy Spirit to be the lead inside of you. So today, ladies, it's enough. Enough. We don't need dry bones sitting around. There's a problem when there's a valley full of dry bones. So my question to Dr. Ron was this a real story or was it just a vision, right? Because Ezekiel said that the Spirit took him to this place, the Spirit of God. And it was both. Because the prophet saw it, but it either was happening at the moment or it would have been happening. So either way, it's a real story. If God can take a valley, do you know what a valley is? A valley is something stuck between two mountains. So can we say a rock and a hard place? Did you ever use that phrase before? I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. That would be called a valley. Right? And we know what God does to stuff that's stuck in the valley. You start hearing some noise. And they start hearing noise. Activities start happening. Don't live a life where you have stopped doing stuff for God. Who else are you doing it for? Honest to goodness, like, who else are we doing this stuff for? For who are we living? We are here to serve God. And so don't live your life trying to overcome one sickness. It's one sickness, people. You hear me? Don't make your whole life about becoming a survivor of this sickness. My mom ain't no survivor of cancer. She kicked cancer in the front, the back, everywhere else. It had nowhere to go. Do you realize when we start finding out, because we had lots of questions, thank God I have a sister, she's not here today, that she is a nurse. So she was interested in all the technical stuff, you know, like whatever terms and all this stuff. And I'm like, explain to me what all that stuff means. And she says, well, when you see ascites, that's a lot of water. So my mom was having all this pain. The pain was 2 liters of water stuck in her belly. So when they did go into the surgery, they removed the water, which was a big relief, because that's what was causing a lot of the pain. But they were baffled. Why is she still having every organ function? Are you eating? Yep. Are you going to the bathroom both ways? Yep. Are you doing this? Or yep. Well, what I'm seeing inside doesn't tell me that should happen. Well, it's happening. So when we went to see her after all this water's drained out of her, the doctor that's in charge says, we start asking her questions. We said, so this water is what was causing mom's pain. So how soon after, how does this water work? Is it gone now? She goes, oh, in about 4 hours, it's all going to come back. Huh? because we're giving her a lot of fluids. So here's what cancer does, at least this type of cancer. It really wants to self-implode your body and kill you. So you know John 10:10, steal, kill, destroy. So what it does is those tumors, they leak stuff and it goes to your vessels that carry the liquids through your body and it punches holes. So as the liquids are going through your body, it's all leaking into the area of your body that's open where these cancers are living. So when my sister and I heard this, we put our hands on my mom's bed. I said, in Jesus' name, there is no way on this earth that's happening. So we say, we seal every leak. The only parts of her vessels that are open are the ones that are supposed to be. But every other part is sealed in Jesus' name. And cancer, you have been stopped from this day forth. You have no more authority to work in this body. Do you know she didn't have chemo for a month since that surgery? 1 month. No fluid ever went back into her belly. Zero. First sign of the devil doing what you tell him. He's supposed to do what you said, not the other way around. I mean, come on. Are you getting feisty about this like I am? You guys are too proper for that. Have you ever seen the guys when they were in war? You know when we had war going on and the reporters were engrafted in and they'd have their cameras and show you the war field? Did they all look clean and nice and tidy? No, they were pretty dirty. They got in there. They weren't like, oh, they're firing. Guys, they're, no, they got in there. They were diligent. They were vigilant. They were ready. This is how we live. Don't get beat up by the devil. Give him some blows he can't handle. It takes him a long time to get back from after your blow. Do you hear me? So I don't care what the devil throws at you. When he decides to do it, you're the one that should make him run. And there is something about sound. There is something about sound. We know when God came in Genesis, first glimpse of God. Do you realize that's your first experience with God in the Bible? That's how we're introduced to God. And he opens his mouth. And what does he say? Light be. He didn't tell the devil to get out of this place and stop causing chaos. How dare you? He spoke from who he was. And out of him comes light. Light overpowers darkness. Every time. I'm going to leave you with this thought, and I want to pray for you today if you want me to pray for you. So here's what's happened when I've prayed for people before. Things that used to have them tied up has to let go. It just has to. You've been playing nice for too long. So I come in and I beat it up until it has to go. When you leave, you are free. If you decide to make it a best friend again, it's totally up to you. I'm not there. Understand? But with a message like today, you're probably going to be scared too anyway. But but you start taking control of your own life when it comes to your mouth. You say what you want to happen. Don't wait for something to happen. Say something will happen. So light will always disperse darkness unless, this is very important to hear, unless you are hiding darkness behind a wall. The light in this room does nothing for that room next door if the doors are closed and the openings are sealed. Does it? Zero. It does nothing for it. But you open the door, and what happens? Light goes in the room. So I know, I've taught this before about light expelling darkness, but it will only expel the darkness that it can get to. What walls do you have up in your life that's hiding darkness? And I'm not talking about some sin only, because it might be too. I'm talking about those experiences in your life that you have made covenant with. Do you know what a covenant is? It's a blood agreement. It's a stake it on my life type of agreement. It's one of those where you go, well, I won't rat you out if you don't do this, or I won't. It's the cover up. What have you made? What league have you made with darkness by having a wall up? When people try to open the door and let the fresh air in, you scream because you are guarding it with your life. And I do mean with your life. You know why? Because your whole life has been consumed guarding that wall. And nobody can touch it. God himself can't touch it with his light if you don't let him. But this is the thing I know about God. His enemy is your enemy. Your enemy is his enemy. And if anybody knows how to use precision weapons, it's him. He has been using them for a long time. He knows every trick of the enemy. He knows what his deception sounds like and looks like. And he knows how hard it is to break off relationships, no matter how bad they are for us. He knows what it feels like. And he knows how to gently remove things that stand in the way. Do you know the story of the walls of Jericho? If you ever went to Sunday school, you'd know it, you know? Six times around. The seventh one is what gets all us women. No, the six times when you're silent. And you got to walk around problems silently. A big wall. But then there's praise. And God does the work. Did it ever say that they took a big sledgehammer and they start? And the wall just came down. This is what God wants to do for you. It's not whether you think it's possible. It's whether he thinks it's possible. And I'll tell you that he does. You know why? I read in the earlier, we're doing things for his name's sake. And the dark rooms that we have, the things that are being developed in there aren't for his name's sake. I'll tell you that right now. It's not. You know, I was just sharing. When we make mistakes or things happen to us, because both of them are not good, either we make the mistake or something happens to us from the enemy, and God fixes it for you. The Bible says he'll take what the devil meant for evil, right? And he'll turn it into good. But when God fixes it for you, sometimes it looks like, well, if that didn't happen to my life, I would have never been here, or I would have never done that. That's a lie from hell itself. You hear me? You hear? If you find yourself saying, well, if this didn't happen, then that would have never happened, and I would have never been here, that's not true. Because God already preset your life that if you follow it exactly without making any mistakes, you will end up exactly where he needs you to be. So even when the enemy sidetracks you and takes you down a road you shouldn't be, God knows how to bring you back on path so seamlessly that in our natural mind, we think, well, if we never did this, then God could have never done this. That's not true. He'll turn what the devil meant for evil into good and make it look so good that it looked like it was part of the plan of your life the whole time. That's how good he is. So whatever doubts you walked in here with, I hope by now you're getting a clue. I mean, I don't know what else I need to say. Do I need to say anything else? Does anybody have a lingering question I didn't answer? Could you play that music for me, Les? I think, what was it, number nine, track nine? You remember I told you about noise? I love loud altar music. You know why? Because the enemy hates it. Because we need to get the Word of God massaged in us. And I'm asking you to let go today of things that you might have just been hanging on to forever. It's become part of your identity, and it is not supposed to be. Do you hear me? Are you happy with the identity that it's given you? If you have something happening in your life and you are not happy with the identity that that thing has given you, I want you to come up here and let's give you a new name badge. Let's give you a brand new ID card. Let's agree together that what God has for you will happen. So you probably aren't used to that if you've never come up to the altar. Somebody at your table probably have, and they will bring you up. But I want us to pray together, and I want us to seek God for the next step in your life. If you're stuck and you don't know what to do next, like, what do I do next, God? What do I do next? This is a good opportunity for God to reveal things to you. So let's come on up, ladies, if you need prayer. Lord, we thank you for your holiness. We thank you, Father, for your word that's true in this place. We speak the life of God in this atmosphere. We speak the light of God in this atmosphere. I thank you, Father. Just come on up, ladies, and stand and you face me, and I'll pray over you. Lord, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit is here to move in our midst, to create value where the enemy has stolen. Everything that the enemy has stolen has to be returned today. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your move in this house. And we say that all things are possible to those that believe. And we are believers in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.